Continuing Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Manya, which the basic meaning is respectable, he who is worthy of and should be respected. Now, this word Manya, or this name Manya, this designation Manya, it is one of those names in Vishnu Sahasranama which is applicable particularly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Narayan, for instance, or Vishnu, is applicable only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, some child may be given the name Narayana or Krishna, but in terms of the name's meaning, it is only applicable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas other names in Vishnu Sahasranama, they may be applicable in a lesser degree to others also. So Krishna is not the only respectable person. He is the most respectable, but others are respectable also. And those who are familiar with Indian languages know that the word Manya is in common usage even today. For instance, we speak of the Manya Mukhya Mantri or Manya Pradhan Mantri, the respected chief minister of a state within India, or the respected prime minister of the Republic of India. And it's not only for politicians. It's a commonly used word to denote that such a person is respectable and we also respect him. If you say Manya Mukhya Mantri, you're not in the mode of a cartoonist or a political rival who wants to pull that particular politician down. So it is a commonly used word, but we should know that ultimately the respectable, the person to be respected, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should know why someone is respected and examine why they are respected. Why should anyone be respected? There may be different reasons for respecting others, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is respectable in all respects because, and then you can recite the whole Vishnu Sahasranama. Why? Because he is Vishvam Vishnu Vashatkara. He has all the quality, every name brings out that he's respectable. Some people are respectable in some respects, but whatever respect they're respected in, it only reflects the respect which is, or the qualities which are due the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They only have for instance, if they're expert in some physical activity, sportsmen and women are very much respected in human society today for their physical abilities and skills, but their physical abilities and skills are just a tiny reflection of that which is in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And someone may be respected for that, and someone else may be respected for being very beautiful. And someone else may be respected for being very intelligent. Someone may be respected for being very powerful. The people are respected for different things, but Krishna is respected for all things which are for which we offer respect. And Krishna has all these qualities in full, as qualifies him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriha Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva Shandang Bhaga Itingena. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's recognized as, well, here we could bring in another name from Vishnu Sahasranam, Sarva Lakshana, Sarva Lakshana Lakshasya. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanam. He has all the characteristics which qualify him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or wealth, or strength, or fame, or knowledge, or beauty, or renunciation. So Krishna, he comes to this world to show who is actually to be respected. But he doesn't keep the respect all to himself. He comes as part, as if he's part of human society, but he particularly appears. Some people say, well, Krishna is just some kind of imagination made up by Hindus, made up by Indians. Why doesn't he appear in other countries? Why doesn't... Well, Krishna appears in Bharata, because that is the place or the land where the Vedic culture is most strongly established, and Krishna appears within this culture. And it is a culture of respect. It's Krishna's culture. Now, all cultures have respect within them, but there's a particular system, social system, of giving respect, especially to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And Krishna establishes that, and he likes that. And he wants to be part of that. He wants that the people who represent him, the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, they represent him, they be respected. And others respect him also. The king respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mother, the father, they represent him. And Krishna wants that they be respected in relation with him. Thus he is Manada, the name we had before this, Manada, one who gives respect. He does it not only personally by bowing down to Yudhishthira and Devaki and Vasudeva, but he creates a whole culture in which respect is given to people who are respectable because they live and act in a manner that is approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is Krishna's culture, not that he sets it up. This is the culture that he lives in. It's the same culture in the spiritual world, and he establishes it within the material world. That is what is meant when Krishna says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says, I come in every age to uplift the saintly people who follow Krishna's culture and to destroy those who don't follow the culture or who misappropriate the culture. They take the respect and the power and the position, but they misuse it. And Krishna says, I come to reestablish dharma. Now, what is meant by dharma here? Dharma, in a very broad way, the word dharma has a huge connotation, which it encompasses the whole Vedic culture and more. But the Vedic culture is in separate, is the culture of dharma, which is Krishna's culture. And Krishna comes to establish that, and he is who he is. We know in the Bible, God defines himself, I am who I am. That's how it's translated in English. I am who I am. So who is Krishna? He can make the situation exactly as he likes it, and he likes the Vedic culture. He likes to be a part of it. So this Vedic culture, this Varnashram Dharma, it's not only helping us to relate to the situation in the spiritual world. Hey, listen, folks, there are no hot dogs or hamburgers in the spiritual world. There's no Coca-Cola. There's no video games. It's Krishna's culture. So we want to get used to that culture, prepare ourselves so that we can enter into it. So the Varnashram Dharma, it is a subsidiary to Abhideya, the process of preparing ourselves to enter the spiritual world. But it's also Prayojana, because it's also the ultimate aim of life is to live with Krishna, which means living in his culture. Now, I'm saying that Krishna's culture is a culture of respect, but of course, it's not only in Krishna's culture that there is respect. The difference between Krishna's culture and what goes on as culture otherwise in the world is that in Krishna's culture, it's not a haphazard respect. People are respected for the proper reasons, and that respect, offering respect within the Vedic culture, purifies one, whereas offering respect for the wrong reasons, it adds to one's contamination. In materialistic culture, the respect is there, that natural tendency is there. Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that people have the tendency to worship others. If we don't worship Krishna, then we may worship some movie star or music star or sports star or politician. We tend to idolize people or just respect. Just like we may worship some sports star, but we may just respect someone, just like kids at school. As I remember, we would give respect to someone, to among our peers, we would give respect to someone who was very good at playing football. We wouldn't worship him. We might worship someone who's like a real professional and top of the game, so to speak. So worship and respect, well, there's a thin line between it, isn't it? It's when respect becomes more and more and more and more, then you go up to worship. In Islam, they say we should only worship God and we shouldn't bow down to anyone else. But they respect their imams also. They respect their religious leaders, and they would think it very wrong not to respect them. But how far does worship go? I mean, they protest very strongly. They think it's very wrong to bow down to anyone except Allah. We should only bow down to God himself. Whereas in Vedic culture, it's very much part of the culture to bow down to respectable persons, not out of fear. One king who's been conquered by another may bow down out of being humiliated or a sense of submission, but out of respect mixed with love. Well, that's a real difference, isn't it? In Krishna's Vedic culture, it's respect which is aimed at not just respecting, but it's a respect which tends toward love. Whereas in materialistic culture, the misplaced respect, it's mixed with envy also, in the sense that I would like to be a great sports star or a rock star or a politician or something like this and be respected by others, but I'm not, and someone else is, and we idolize them, such people, because they are what we would like to be, but that's not in Krishna's Vedic culture. We don't think, I'm bowing down to Krishna, but actually I would like to be Krishna. Of course, the Mayavadis, they think like that, and therefore their worship of the Supreme Lord, the Vaishnava Acharyas say that the respect and the prayers that the impersonalists offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they actually hurt him in his heart. They hurt him very deeply because he knows what insincerity is there. It hurts. The arrows fired by his enemies in battle, they cut his skin and blood comes out. Transcendental blood comes out. And it hurts. It's not that it doesn't hurt, but it's a sport for him. He's enjoying that. But he doesn't like impersonalism. He doesn't like the prayers of the impersonalists. It's so hypocritical. It's the idea, I'm praising you, but actually in the heart there's deep envy. So Vedic culture, the difference between the respect or in Vedic culture is that within materialistic culture, the respect is always mixed with envy. But the Vedic culture, it eliminates envy. And that's why the impersonalism, it, in one sense, Shankaracharya, well, he uplifted the Vedic culture in a very important sense. But in another sense, that philosophy, it undermines the whole purpose of it. So real Vedic culture means Vaishnavism. Of course, it does encompass. We have the Gita in which Krishna speaks of karma and jnana and yoga as well as bhakti. So it is within the Vedic culture in the broader sense. But ultimately, one has to come to Vaishnavism to be completely in the proper track of what the Vedic culture is meant for, is meant to, how it's meant to uplift us and bring us to the highest perfection. Actually, if we think of this materialistic culture or atheistic culture, there may be a difference. Materialistic culture and atheistic culture. It's possible to be materialistic and theistic. It's possible to be respectful and atheistic. Among atheists at the present time, I guess Richard Dawkins is highly respected, and he also believes in giving respect to others, although generally he gives respect to people if they're Oxford or Cambridge educated or equivalent, a very high level of materialistic education. But then if we take the philosophy of Dawkins, or the understanding of those who espouse materialism, philosophical materialism, or nowadays it's called physicalism, to distinguish it from materialism. Another common use of the word materialism is to mean someone who's very interested in having lots of money and enjoying life in a sensual way. So the philosophy of materialism believes that, well, there's only matter, but nowadays among philosophers, it's more called physicalism. So according to this culture, there is nothing but matter. There's no God, there's no spirit, there's no life after death. Everything is simply a product of matter. But then, if you take that philosophy, there's no reason to respect anyone anyway, because everyone is just a blob of chemicals. I'm talking, it comes out of some blob of chemicals called the body, and there's no life force, there's no spirit, it just happens to be formed like that from matter. And dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, and that's about it. There's no inherent reason to respect. Why should you respect a blob of chemicals? Even the offering of respect has no particular meaning. Nothing has any particular meaning if everything is... Now, somehow they try to get around this, but actually their philosophy is that everything is just some chemicals, or if you like, everything is waves. Everything is energy. But so what? If there some energy is formed into a body from which which says things and does things, and why should you respect someone for being the prime minister anymore? The prime minister is inherently, what we call the prime minister is inherently no different from a pile of garbage, according to their philosophy. Because, of course, his political enemies will say that. But what I'm getting at here is that it's all just different formations of matter. And whatever anyone says and does, anyway, it's just a blob. It's just a blob of matter interacting with the rest of the universe in a split second of time. And why should anyone respect anyone when no one is anyone, ultimately? The whole idea of personality is just some kind of imagination that's come about due to the random interactions of the trillions of neurons within our brains. Why do we respect others? Because we are distinct living beings, and there is a gradation. It's not all the same. And society works if there is a gradation. If we respect that someone, or we accept that someone is superior to me within society. There's a prime minister or a president, and there are great political gradations. Some people are richer than others. We have to respect that. That's how society works, that children have to respect their elders. You may say, well, why should they respect their elders? But they can't be benefited and trained unless they respect their elders. Society can't work unless there is some formation, formation of society, some organization, which means that people who have exceptional abilities in some area, they have to be respected for that. When the plumbing in your house, it all leaks, and then there's flooding everywhere. You have to call the plumber, and you have to respect him that he knows his job, what he's doing. You can't tell him, no, you don't do this, you don't do that. You don't know anything about it. You might be a PhD in astrophysics, but if you don't know anything about plumbing, you have to respect the plumber, or plumber, as they say in Indian English. You have to respect. It's society can't work without mutual respect. And it begins at the beginning of life. Juniors, children, have to be trained to respect elders. And elders affectionately guide and care for the juniors. Society works like that. In Vedic culture, we say Mata Shri. In American culture, we say Mom. But it's Mata Shri in Vedic culture. It means respected mother. Pita Shri, respected father. The Brahmana is called Bhudeva, God on earth. The elders, the elder brother and sister is respected. The king, nowadays we have the prime minister and chief minister. They are accorded respect because they are understood to have be in that position as ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, when one is a child and one is growing up, one offers respect to, one is trained to offer respect to one's parents. How is one trained? It's a whole culture. One sees the elder children offering respect. The elder siblings offer respect to the parents. Or in other families, they see. And naturally, the children have respect for the parents, but that is ingrained also. And there are systems of how that is done. And it's formalized so that children, they bow down before their parents every day. The first thing they do in the day. This is in Vedic culture. In other culture, well, we don't know. Unlikely. So this system works very well if the seniors are actually respectable by actually acting as representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if they reflect his qualities, which means that in Vedic culture pushes everyone toward purification. You can't be a father or a mother properly if you are grossly involved in sense gratification. If you are more interested in yourself than in your children. You think the children are a nuisance and they're just, oh. But the parents give themselves to the children. And one way they do that is by setting a good example in their own behavior. And this way they actually they represent the spiritual, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this culture, the Vedic culture, works, or any culture in the world works if there is respect. There has to be respect. But Vedic culture ultimately works when it's understood that the persons who are to be respected, they're to be respected because they are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this neo-Marxism, which is sweeping the Western world and making strong inroads into India also, and is being kept out as far as possible in more sane countries, shall I say, in some ways, like Russia and China. Whoops, political statement here, but this neo-Marxism, which is sweeping the world, or cultural Marxism, it's so dangerous because they want to pull down everything that is respectable. Now, it's a fact that in the Western world, which has the Western society has become very prominent, and it's become prominent by horrible exploitation. One, some of the reasons for its becoming prominent has been due to horrible exploitation. For instance, the slave trade, which was, we know the slaves especially went to America. Of course, they also went to South America and that was organized by Europeans. So it wasn't only America. And then the genocide of the people who are already living in America before the Europeans got there. And in so many ways, the Western civilization has come up due to horrible exploitation. And the people who are respected in the history of the Western world have actually been some of the coordinators of some of the most horrible kinds of mistreatment of others. But this idea, just pulling everything down, and if you're a white man and you're straight, you must be wrong. They don't have anything to put in place. They just want to pull everything down and show or try to show that you have to uplift those who have been oppressed. But it's not going to work by simply pulling everyone else down. And if you do put other people in with this horribly negative attitude, if for instance, if you bring up the gay non-whites, and unless you have a proper understanding of who's to be respected, then if you give prominence to gay non-whites, or gays in general and non-whites in general, and then if they get power, then they'll exploit others, that's all. The French Revolution, prime example. There was terrible exploitation of the common people going on by the nobility, and then the first and the second estates, the nobility and the clergy. But then the response to that was horrible bloodshed and just an orgy of hatred. So it's a very dangerous position when the respect is channeled, or it's changed from, okay, all right, so we don't want a culture of exploitation, but then just sheer envy and hatred of others. The culture of envy, what we call tamaguna, in which there's nothing positive. There's no clear direction of where society should be going. Just pull down everything which is there. Nothing positive to put into it. So this, but it's taken over practically. It's so prominent in Western civilization, and the backlash against it is, well, it's very prominent in America, isn't it? It's Trumpism versus everything else. But the backlash by those who want to retain the old culture, they don't have a very clear idea of what they want to retain, but it's a very gross backlash also, and it's divided society so deeply that practically you can say that the writing's on the wall. The Western civilization is doomed unless they learn to respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives. Christianity in the Western world has become largely, well, as at the time of the French Revolution, speaking very broadly, and in America today, fundamentalist Christianity has been identified with all that is perceived as being wrong in Western civilization. People don't have knowledge of a God who loves more than he condemns. His real feeling, the real feeling of God, is to love everyone, not as in the fundamentalist Christian idea, as in the Islamicist idea. Most of the people get chucked into hell forever to burn horribly. It's a very, again, tamasic, envious idea. People project their hatred of others onto God, and they've imagined God as someone who throws the majority of people into, if they don't respect him out of fear, then he throws them into hell forever. So people really need knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he is to be respected and how his representatives are to be respected. Without that, all civilizations are doomed. Without that, individually, our lives are doomed. As I was saying in the previous talk about this name, Manya, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, they stress on how Vishnu is to be respected for his quality of loving his devotees, giving respect to his devotees. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas also, they stress very much on the loving nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, that is a very, very high level of understanding. And first of all, people have to, the idea that we should fear God, it's not a bad thing in itself, but it's not the essence of who he is. But it is a good beginning for people who tend to be inimical to the principle of offering respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like in the state, in a country, it's good to inculcate a sense of fear if people in general are rowdy and the country is full of criminal types. In among criminals, criminally minded people, it's good to inculcate a sense of fear. Hey, look, you'd better respect the law. Otherwise, you're going to be punished in a manner which makes it not worth you breaking the law. Steal, get your hand chopped off. Fear. Huh. So this promoting the idea of God as a fearsome person, it's a good beginning for criminally minded people. Love is a higher principle. For those whose natural tendency is to respect the Supreme Lord, the respect is the beginning. There's no love without respect. I love you, but I don't. If you don't respect someone, how can you love them? Respect is the foundation for love. So we're talking about love of Krishna here, love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he is to be respected for his loving nature. But first, we should understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many times did Srila Prabhupada use this term, which he coined himself? Of course, it's based on Shastra. Paramam Purusham Divyam, we find in Bhagavad Gita, which means, can be translated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, first for preaching Krishna consciousness to the public, for teaching to newcomers, first Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Then we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, which brings us to the loving, of course, the loving nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by no means absent in the Gita. But in the Gita, the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja, take shelter of me only. Take shelter, that means a loving relationship. But why? Because it's been established. Paramam Purusham Divyam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the overseer, the creator, maintainer, destroyer, the all-powerful. So Bhagavad Gita is, understand him to be great. Next we go to Bhagavatam, which also elaborately describes his greatness and his opulence and his power, but also brings us, and this is the greatness of the Bhagavatam among all the Vedic literature. What is the greatness of the Bhagavatam? That could be described in thousands of books, and not fully. The Bhagavatam is self-effulgent in its own greatness. But one quality that is there in the Bhagavatam, which is brought out profusely, elaborately, clearly, in a manner which is far more than any other Vedic literature. It's there in every Vedic text. But especially the Bhagavatam brings out the loving nature of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So the Gita understanding is the basis on which we can enter the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the basis of which we can enter Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're not the basis of our general preaching to the public. That Bhagavad Gita philosophy is. Yeah. The topic of love, it's actually very high for us who are in the material world, the world of envy. Even in the Gita Govinda, which is the accepted as the description of the loving exchange of Radha and Krishna par excellence. Even the Gita Govinda begins with offering respect in two songs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Yes, he's a very loving Lord. Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala. He's the Lakshmi is lying on his breast, so it's on his chest. So it's a very, or he himself is lying on the chest of Lakshmi. So it's a very loving, but it's Jaya Jaya Deva Hari, offering respects. Jai, may he be glorified, the Supreme Lord. And then we have the Dashavatara Stotram, Keshava Dhrita Dashavidha Rupa, the Supreme Lord, who has descended in his various majestic and loving forms. This Supreme Lord, this Krishna, who is looking for Radha in the forest of Vrindavan and bowing down at her feet. This Krishna is Matsya Korma Varaha Narasimha. Yes. Respect comes first. First there is respect. The Bhagavatam begins and ends with respect. The Bhagavatam begins and ends with respect. So let's discuss the Bhagavatam's culture of respect. Oh, that's a very big topic. I'll come back to that later. One more talk on this name, Manya. He is to be respected. It's such an important thing we have to imbibe, to respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's come back to this in another session. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evaja patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churnakang padaya nipatya kritva chakakushata metada hambravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kurutanuragaha. Parivadutu juno yata tatava nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare.